Thursday. It's this fabulous December 3rd. I'm at Dominican University. We are on Penguin Radio. Hopefully you're listening. And if you are listening, you're listening to DJ Risque and my segment Coping on the Court. And today, well, I don't know if many people know, but this is finals week. It's kind of a stressful time, you know. It's interesting that how to see all the, well, next week is finals week, but a lot of my finals actually are this week, and it's interesting. I've already done two out of my three classes, I've only got two left, but obviously the only two that I have left are, of course, the hard ones. I've got a speech and a paper to present for one of my classes, and then I've got another paper to turn in and a final, but it's open note, and I've taken relatively good notes, so I'm not too worried about it. But, I just want to, well, this is our last show, and I kind of, you know, a lot of my topics are, you know, I remember some being quite heavy, and I remember some weeks, you know, I don't know, not being as, I don't know, I remember one week, you know, I left and I was really upset, you know, in all fairness, you know, I got dumped, you know, and it's hard, it's really hard for, I'm a very emotional person, and for me, when I think of, you know, when I think of something that, you know, gets me down, or, you know, I get thought attacks, and, then things, you know, it just happens like a wave, you know, but, you know, this is obviously a class, and, you know, this is me doing a radio show, and it's my show, but, you know, that's what I feel is, what I think is so cool is that, I mean, I feel like I've been extremely, you know, open on my show, and I don't like to, you know, sugarcoat things. I like to be honest. I like, you know, I like to relate. I like to be relatable, and I wouldn't want to, you know, sugarcoat something that's not sugarcoated. You know, that's not really fair. It's not really what I would want anyway. Well, especially about life. Life isn't sugarcoated. Nothing about what happens in life is fun. Is a fairy tale. Is something that, you know, it can't always be roses and rainbows. You know, it's crazy how that happens. It's you know, it's like you look in, I don't know, you look in the mirror sometimes, and I don't know, you're confused at who you see. Oh my gosh. It's sorry, I just get so stuck. Oh, sorry, continuing. Oh, I apologize. But we look, you know, one thing, you know, that sticks into my head is, you know, when I look into the mirror and I, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, who are you, human being? And I remember in the first week that I moved here to school, I'd lost 10 pounds. Like, I'm not even kidding. I was going to the doctor the first day I got here, and I was going to my classes. I had a shirt and shorts on. And after my first class, I went to the health center because I was not feeling good. My stomach was in cramps. I was having extreme anxiety. And literally all of my clothes were damp. Like, they were damp to the touch. Like, I was just so sweaty. I was so, I don't know, it was just so interesting to me. And then from that day, you know, I literally, from the very first day I got here, I've had panic attacks and, you know, just issues where, well, what they call, so, I mean, I don't sleep. Oh, I've had a lot of trouble eating. You know, I get sleeping pills. You know, I get pills that help me, well, kind of not be so emotional, I would put it. And then I have my panic attack pills, and I don't know, I just get overwhelmed. You know, but that's all that happened within, you know, the first week, 2 weeks of being here. I knew that something was not right, and to be able to, you know, stay here and adapt to my environment, Something would have to change. I needed something else that, you know, that I'd already tried, you know, going on walks, you know, doing the normal stress relief things that they tell you to do, hang out with people. Well, it was my first week, so I really didn't know anybody, you know. So, I mean, I was going on walks for myself. I was talking to, you know, the nurses that had helped me. And, I don't know. I felt, you know, I was trying to meditate, and I feel like nothing would help me. And you know, that's just what's sad. I would cry every single day, and it's sad that, you know, I wish that, you know, I wish that, I hope that nobody, you know, I would never want to hear a story where that happened to somebody else. You know, I would never, today I was in the health center, and just, you know, talking to my friends, and this woman walked in with a girl, and she had just, her eyes were just so red, like she had been crying. And I just got up, and I'll see you guys later. I understand that, you know, somebody in that position, they don't necessarily want to be talked to or talked at. It's crazy. I wanted to, you know, I was just thinking I wanted to reach out to her and, you know, I wanted to, you know, tell her that everything would be okay. And, you know, I like, in the same respect, I wanted to, in, same thing, I wanted to, you know, bring her that comfort that maybe, somebody could have brought me. I don't know, the nurses brought me comfort, and, it was just, what somebody can do for somebody, just listening to what you have to say, it's there, well, for different people, it could be therapeutic. Like, I know there's different kind of people in the world that, you know, some people don't like to talk about their emotions, some people spew out their emotions, some people, you know, go to the gym and deal with their emotions, some people, you know, it's, everybody deals with it in a different way. And I know for me personally, it made me feel really secure and calm that, you know, somebody listened to my story, and the fact that, you know, when I would tell them I was having all this anxiety and it was, you know, I couldn't sleep and I couldn't eat, you know, it's reassuring to hear, you know, somebody say, you know, this isn't something, you know, this is normal, you know, and that's what I'll open up even a little further. So after I went to, the nurses, you know, when I was having my, panic attacks, and, they sent me to the local doctor, and I went to the local doctor, and she prescribed me with my panic attack pills and, sleeping pills. And then, she was just a doctor, so she couldn't really, I mean, she was telling me that obviously she saw a bunch of college students for this type of thing, you know, their stomachs being upset, not being able to eat, not being able to sleep, stress, blah, blah, blah. And then, after a while, they sent me to the other clinic, you know, which is just down the road, whatever. And it was a psychiatrist. And this is the lady that was telling me that, you know, she sees many college students that are all having, you know, very bad panic attacks, or that, you know, can't sleep, and just all the stress is just piling up on them. And, you know, very stressful situation, you know, school would be. It was interesting, you know, she tells me that, you know, I'm not alone, it's normal, you know. And then you walk around campus and you be like, I wonder how many people, you know, are actually maybe not doing so well. Or it's funny how, you can't just walk up to somebody and be like, hey, you know, how, you know, you have panic attacks. Or I would be interested in, maybe that can be like one of my senior projects or something. I could see how many, like, college students are having, like, I don't know, like, breakdowns and stuff like that. I don't know. I would be really curious to see, because, I don't know, I wouldn't think that, you know, it seems like, as you walk around and you look at the people, it seems like, most of the people that you know, it almost looks like they have it together, you know, that, but maybe that's the, funny thing, is that we don't really know, you know, people can fake it really good too. And, I'm really impressed by that, when people, I don't know, even as hard as I try, sometimes, like, when I get really upset and really overwhelmed, sometimes I do cry. Like, I always admit that I do cry probably more than, some people should cry. But, I can be honest with that, and that's, you know, that's how I grieve. That's how, you know, when I hurt, that's how I hurt, you know. I let it all out that way. And, it's probably, that's what I think is so funny, is before I came here, I feel like I'd cry maybe once a month. I would never cry. I mean, you'd have to really, really, really make me upset for me to, you know, want to cry. But here it's just like, I'm so hypersensitive that almost anything, like, if it didn't I don't know, if it makes me upset, it's almost going to make me cry, you know? Like, I remember one day that I asked one of my professors if I could leave just like 5-10 minutes early just to go get some dinner for... Because the practice, or the class got out like a half hour before my basketball practice. But it's hard to, you know, eat a full meal because I couldn't make it to lunch before. I mean, dinner before, because it started before dinner. It was 4:15 to 7:15. And I asked him if I can get out a little bit early, and he said, you know, what for? I don't see why you need to get out early. And I was like, well, I've got basketball practice, and it's hard to play basketball on a full stomach. I'd like, you know, just 5 minutes for it to digest. And initially he was like, no. And he's like, well, what are you asking me? I was like, can I just please leave at 7 o'clock so I can go get some dinner, and then I can go to basketball and it be digested in my stomach? And he just said, oh, like, is that really all? Yes. So I don't know what was so confusing about that, but it made me so upset. I teared up. He was just like, no, you can't. And I just didn't understand. Like, it was just funny to me that something so silly had made me so emotional. Like, that was just a perfect example, because, I mean, normally I would never, you know, be bugged by something so small, you know, something so meaningless. And so it was interesting. But another thing I was reading today, right before my show, actually, I was just reading some stress relief tips, and one of them said, it was what I was just talking about. Oh, bugger. Well, I'm going to go back to that. Well, I was talking about stress and how, well, what stresses me out anyway. And, it was just, I remember, another perfect example is I have a graphic design class. And in this graphic design class, we have, it's all art on the computer, all on the on a Mac. Okay, it's a Mac, but it's like a portable pad that like it's connected to the Mac, but you can like put it on your lap. And I remember all the time that I would just have this thing on my lap, and I'd be trying to do art, and it's crazy that like I literally would get so frustrated on the fact that I couldn't get the brush stroke right, or I couldn't get, you know, it's just something silly on this. Just doing art on the computer, one, is really frustrating, I've learned, but art in general, and doing it, if you're not an art person, which I'm not, I feel like I just don't have, you know, I just don't have the patience for it. But you know, that's almost what I appreciate about the class the most, is that it makes me so upset. Like, I'll admit, I think I've almost cried every day in that class. I just think from being overwhelmed about that, I didn't like how my artwork was coming out. You know, I didn't like the way it looked. And so it would make me so frustrated. But then, and then it's funny when I, you know, sometimes I think, you know, while I was in the gym or the basketball gym shooting shots, I would think, you know, does this make me frustrated? You know, does this? And it does, in a different way, obviously. The fact that, you know, for basketball players, you know, shooting, it's so important. You know, it's repetitions. You know, how you are as good as, you know, as much as you practice, because practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes. Oh, why did I just lose that word? Practice makes permanent, not perfect. Permanent. So it's, I mean, if you're always working on it, you're obviously going to improve it. But I wish that it was that way for art, I think. Well, obviously, it's got to be something interested in. Basketball is obviously something that I'm very interested in. Just the fact that I get to, you know, move my body. And that's another way that, you know, I get my stress relief is being able to, one, run full speed. I know there's a lot of times in basketball games that I get to run full speed, and as much as it is tiring, it relieves a lot of inner stress for me, a lot of inner anger. You know, almost like when you just feel, almost just like you've got to yell, you know. I feel like for me, sometimes running and being able to lift heavy weights, letting all that, you know, that steam and all that, you know, the blood flow and all the sweat out, I don't know, it's really comforting for me sometimes. And that's why I feel like maybe art isn't such my thing, because there's no, you know, there's no physicality in that other than, you know, moving your hands or moving your equipment around. It's just interesting, and it just proves to me, you know, obviously some things aren't meant for some people, but I don't know. Maybe as I get older, and maybe as I get a little bit more patient as an adult, maybe I'll be able to, you know, find some stress relief in doing something, you know, not as physical, and I'm sure that'll be really good for me eventually. But I want to play a song for a quick break, and I don't want anybody to judge me, but I know that if you hear this song more than one time, I know that you will sing along. I know that for sure. I do. Actually, this is awful. I can't find it. That is awful. But okay, I'll play my second favorite song, and then hopefully I'll play that one last. So I'm going to give you a Work Song by Hozier. This is, I don't know, one of my all-time favorites.
The kind of way to face the burning heat. I just think about my baby. I'm so full of love I could barely eat. There's nothing sweeter than my baby. I'd never want once from the cherry tree. 'Cause my baby's sweet as can be. She'd give me two flakes just from kissing me. When my time comes around, lay me gently in the cold dark earth. No grave can hold my body down. I'll crawl home to her. Boys, when my baby found me, I was 3 days on a drunken sin. I woke with the walls around me, nothing in her room but an empty crib. Up a fever, I didn't care much how long I lived, but I swear I thought I dreamed her. She never asked me once about the wrong I did. When my time comes around, lay me gently in the cold dark earth. No grave can hold my body down. Body done. If the Lord don't forgive me, I'd still have my baby, and my babe would have me. When I was kissing on my baby, and she'd put her love down soft and sweet. In the low-lit light, I was free. Heaven and hell were words to me. When my time comes around, lay me gently in the cold dark earth. No grave can hold my body down. I'll crawl home to earth. When my time comes around, lay me gently in the cold dark earth. No grave can hold my body down.
So obsessed with that song. I couldn't tell you. I couldn't. I could not. But I think, well, because this is my radio show, I feel like I get to talk about whatever I want and whatever I feel like I get to talk about. And sometimes I feel, one, I would like to show a lot of gratitude towards my professors that allow us to do this and give us so much freedom, you know. Obviously, we pick a topic, and obviously in mine, coping on the court, I picked the topic. I mean, it's literally, I don't know why I thought of that from the beginning. It's all about how do you cope with everything? It's not, you know, like I have a final today and my laptop broke and I can't really write my essay. Yeah, I can go to the library. I mean, I can do that. You're right. But it's funny how, you know, how do you, you know, it's, how do we cope? You know, you get dumped. How do you cope? You know, it's funny. It's all about, but back to my being grateful. Well, I guess I have a lot of people to be grateful for. I would start with, Brad, who is the comm. He's the head of the comm department and he's my advisor and he's the best. Well, all the people that helped me with this class are the best. And, Brad, for, you know, from day one, he was actually like pretty much one of the first people that I saw to help me with my major. And, he just instilled like, it was like a little flame, like a little fire that burned, you know, like I was excited. And I don't know, he gave me faith, you know, when I really needed some, or, you know, when I started to get a little bit scared, nervous. And I will thank him for that. If anybody doesn't know Brad Van Alstine, I think that you should shake that man's hand and just introduce yourself to him. But also, next, I would have to say Leona. She's one of the most smart, most compassionate people I've ever met in my life. And I don't know, every time that, there was a bunch of times this semester where, I don't know, I really wasn't having it, you guys. I don't know, I felt really low. And this was even before, you know, losing everything. And it's all about perspective now, but you realize, you know, the things that matter don't really matter, and the things that should matter, you know, we don't care about so much. But Leona always, remember there was times, you know, I was just miserable, and she just called me on the phone, like, and just make sure that I was okay, like, as a person, as a human being, that I was okay, and I was there, like, I don't know, just giving me, like, just guidance in her word, and you know, her just advice, just her story. Like, it's incredible when you have a professor that will literally take out of their time to help you relate to something, help you get through something. That's like, I mean, I've been in I was in junior college for 4 years, and I could never tell you that a single professor called me on the phone to make sure that I was okay, ever. And that one thing that will always stand out, she always, you know, I feel like she looks out for everybody, you know, like kids, like we're all a pack of wolves, you know, and she's mama cub butter. And then Stu, I love Stu. Stuart Orne, he's hilarious. But he makes you better. He's very, 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 very wise. And, he has a lot to teach you. And I learned something about him yesterday, that I didn't know, and I guess it is very true in that, you know, we learn new things every day. And I learn, you know, how really fair he is. And it's just on the scale of, you know, in what I am learning more about college, because at a junior college it was obviously much different. Our class sizes were 2 to 3 sizes bigger, so I mean, half the people wouldn't come most of the time at the JC, but here it's so much about participation, because at Dominican, it's learning is so much hands-on. It's all about, you know, what you can put your hands on, what, and that's what I like. It's, we learn here, but it's not learning like at the JC. It's almost like they show it to you, and then they put it in your hand and let you feel it and touch it, and then, you know, set you off on it, and I remember how just Stuart, like, I remember several times, I mean, I didn't use any of the software ever before in my life, and I don't know, he made me feel creative, even though I was very lacking in the skills needed to, you know, use the, you know, the software. And I will appreciate him for that as well. He taught me very many things, and I know he will continue to teach me things, even though I wouldn't be in his class. I know there was one more person. Oh, who was it? Gratitude. If I'm gonna go all gratitude out here, then I would say the two people like made it easiest for me to get through this situation in where I am now as the nurses at Dominican. If anybody is sick, you have a headache, anything, just go to them and they'll make you feel better, regardless of whatever you're thinking or feeling. They'll make you feel better. I mean, unless you have like a serious something, I mean, they'll do their best, I know that, but just go to them, say what's up. And but back to where I got off on this tangent, I was just talking about how I was thankful for the freedom that I have to feel like I can say what I want on my show, and that I feel like, one, that's important, to feel comfortable in what you're doing and where you're at, because so let's rephrase that. What I said that I didn't like was, we always try to be comfortable, and that's one thing, is we grow when we are outside of our comfort zone. So it's almost saying, you know, I don't want to say that at all. I want to say, you know, be outside of your comfort zone, do things that you don't really want to do. And that's increasingly what I'm learning from being in college, is you learn most from the things that we don't want to do. And because I remember going to college, I was pumped that I had the opportunity, but I was like, crap, like, I'm about to leave, I have to be a big kid. And as much as it's like that, college almost seems like a big high school, it's not. And it's a job. It's very much a job. There's nothing, but you don't get paid. Like, I kind of feel like I'm like getting cheated here. I mean, I got a scholarship and I'm so very thankful for that. But, it's like, you know, I commit all my time, everything, and, I'm still going to come out with, you know, over $10,000 with the debt, you know, almost $20,000 with the debt. And for me, I mean, that's scary, especially from, you know, I come from a place where, you know, we've lost our house, we've lost multiple cars, we've lost everything. Like, well, I don't know what else. That's what I'm saying. Like, there comes a point where you should feel like, how much can I take, you know? But that's why I feel like, one, I'm at college for that reason exactly. I refuse to be the one that has to lose, but I will pay back for what has been, like, you know, what damage has occurred. You know, I want to be able to do that. I want to be comfortable and powerful and be able to, you know, do those things. I want to, you know, it was always just me and my mom, and I'll never, ever, ever know the sacrifices that, you know, that she really made. But I know that I will always, like, I'll always do my best to try to you know, pay her back for that, let her know that I understand, you know, that her sacrifice, and I'm guaranteed that I'm going to let her know that, because I can only imagine how frustrating it must have been to, I remember times in, like, elementary school and middle school where I was always, you know, on AAU teams, and we always had somewhere to go, you know. There was always a tournament one weekend, or there was always somewhere that mom had to take me to. And you know, I mean, I know that I know that in, you know, my mom, that would probably mean a lot to my mom, that she was there for a bunch of my basketball games and a bunch of almost everything. And I think that's what it means so much to me now, that she's still, you know, she still comes to the games. Like, every game, she, I mean, 4 hours is a max so far, I think, 4 or 5. But that she still, she does that for me, you know. She does that to support me, and maybe because she knows, like, once I get out of this, once we're done here, that she knows that I will return the favor. I'll always return the favor. Well, especially going through this, you know, I know that she, even with, you know, the hard times that I'm facing right now, you know, getting everything taken from me, I mean, other than what I have here, everything that I had back home was taken, you know, I mean, I was let go, but it's the same purpose, you know, it's the same feeling. It's just, it's, I don't know, how do you let go of what you never thought you'd have to let go of, you know? And, I don't know, and somehow my mom is still always here, like, my mom, she always, I don't know how, she's always there, like, no matter what, she's just always there, and, it's crazy how you, you know, as you grow up, that you realize, you know, some things that you never understood as a kid, that you really understand as a young adult, you know, the fact that, you know, right out of high school, almost me and my mom had to do the same things, just in the same different circumstances. I remember her telling me right out of high school, she was trying to go to a state school, and her dad would not sign her financial aid paperwork, not allowing her to get any tuition or get any help to go to school, and so she couldn't go to school. And I remember, so she told me that she started working 2 jobs, and then she got pregnant, and to me, that, I mean, it was almost, for me, I mean, out of high school, I didn't get a scholarship that I wanted for basketball, so I just started going to the junior college, and then, I mean, I started working 2 jobs, and me and my mom, you know, it was struggle that way. And, you know, the only reason my mom got laid off from her job my senior year in high school, and that's where I had to step up, and I had to get 2 jobs, you know. And I mean, looking back, I mean, it was hard. It was really hard. I remember I'd go from school to one job to the other job, and then when I started basketball, I'd go from school to basketball to work, and it was just so tiring. And it was every day. I don't know, but now that it's over, looking back at it, you know, like, you survive from the things that you thought were going to kill you, you know. I remember one of these jobs that I hated most, they made me dishwash a lot because I worked at a lot of restaurants. And I was so upset because every time that I would leave, I would just smell so awful from, you know, the place. I mean, because it would be sweeping them up in the kitchen was the last job at night. And so I just smell so awful, and I drive home, and I remember how upset I was. And then the day he finally said, okay, you're not going to be the dishwasher, go shake the sign on the corner. And I looked at him, and I just wanted to laugh. Like, I was just so upset. I don't know, shake the sign, that's what you want me to do? And it was my second job. Like, I remember that was a bad company anyway. Their checks started to bounce, but it was just interesting, people's dynamic, and, you know, working 2 jobs, and all the fun things that come into being a student athlete. And I remember, it's funny, when I did start playing at Sierra, so after 2 years, I had gotten a serving job at a bar and restaurant, and it was actually in a huge bowling alley, but it was just like a sports bar kind of thing. And I was a server, and it was funny because I knew, like, I got the job when I was, I want to say 19, because, yeah, I worked there 2 years, and then I was got my 21st birthday. So, oh my gosh, I'm 22. I just remembered that. But It was just so funny because my basketball coach would ask me, like, oh, you got to go to work, you got to go to the bar. And it's just funny because, I mean, I never drank. I don't prefer it. My body hates when any alcohol gets anywhere near it. But, yeah, it was just always funny. She would give me a hard time about working at the sports bar, being around the alcohol. And, you know, I just like to get the people, you know, give them what they want, and hopefully they tip me good for it. That was the perks, and I mean, lots of hard work, but somebody's got to do it. So I found that song, and it's break time. So let me see if I can get that on for you right now. Let's see here. I think it's playing, but it's not playing. Oh, I see why. Okay, I figured it out. I apologize. Now it won't load, of course, like all good things in life. It makes you wait. It makes you wait, like all good things in life, right? It's like, gotta wait good for anything. Remember, don't judge, just listen.
I'm nothing but a low life, thinking about my old. I can't help myself from falling. Can't help myself from falling. Nothing but a low life. Thinking about my old life. I'm trying to fight the good old fight. But after it all, I'm still just a low life. I wanna be a better man, but it's a hard life. But have that low inside. Yeah, it's a cold bite. And I started to reflect on all that's been before. You start to wonder, but you can't be sure. I please tell me I'm broke. It's much easier that way. 'Cause I just let you down. It's much easier that way. I'm nothing but a low life. Thinking about my old life. I can't help myself from falling. Can't help myself from falling. Nothing but a low life. Thinking about my old life. I'm trying to fight the good old fight. But after it all, I'm still just a low life. I'm broke. It's much easier that way. 'Cause I just let you down. It's much easier that way. Thank you.
Isn't that just wonderful? And I know what maybe somebody's thinking, oh, rah, 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 rah. Not a lowlife. I know I'm not a lowlife. It's just, you know, when you get to sit and think about the fact that you're not a lowlife. I don't know. I know. I don't know what's happening. Okay, there we go. Alright, so I remember that song made me feel weird now. But I was on a tangent about how poo. I don't know. I just think that song, I don't know, that tore me up a little bit today, right now. Earlier it didn't make me feel that way. I don't know why. I'm trying to think of when I first heard that song. I remember I was in my car and I was like, but what's funny about the song is, I mean, if you're listening to it and you're like, I'm guessing nobody is really a lowlife for me, you know? I mean, if I'm in college, I'm obviously not a lowlife because I'm doing something with my life, you know? And I don't know, maybe I'm at a low point in my life, but you couldn't say that I was a lowlife. And okay, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay, there's my bar again. Okay, I apologize. There we go. Wait, is it still go up? Okay, there we go. Okay, the bar is going. Okay, oh, did we? I think I just pressed a button and then messed something up, but I think it's okay now. I don't know. I was thinking about, just going off the song. I'm done with that song. Sometimes it just hurts, sometimes it doesn't. That's how everything works, right? But just the fact that, rehashing, I guess this is my last show, Coping on the Court. This semester's been quite heavy, I'd say. You know, if you've been listening to Coping on the Court, you've had quite a few interesting things, probably a lot of non-interesting things as well. I don't know. I think it's very cool being able to have topics and make up our shows and what we're going to talk about, what we want to talk about. I think that's totally cool that we get to pick. I'm really sorry. That nasty cold is going around school, and it's pretty gross. Even the nurse had it, and it's like you've got the cold, and you've got the flu, and then you've got all these nasty fungal nasties. And that's one thing about colleges, you know, is it's much like little school in that regard. Once somebody gets sick, everybody's gonna get sick, especially on the basketball team. Like, especially when we have to travel, and then we're all in the buses, and we're all in the planes, and we're all in the vans together. It's crazy that that stuff travels around like that, and it's kind of hard to prevent. It's almost like, you know, like a little family. If somebody gets it in the family, then everybody in the family is going to get it. You know, almost that inevitability of the sickness. But I wish it would. I wish it was a little bit easier to fight. Okay, it is going. Inevitability of sickness. Wouldn't it be nice if they just like how, you know, how vaccines work, how they like inject us with a vaccine, and we could be vaccine from almost every sickness. I mean, I'm sure they have all that, but how nice would it be if, like, we only had to get one throughout our lifetime, and then we would never get sick? I'm sure they're going to come up with that one day, like, after they come up with the cure to cancer and, you know, take everybody's money. Just like, isn't that... I swear I've seen... It was a guy that invented... he invented, like, a battery for something, and he patented it, and then he raised, like... He brought up the price of the product, like, 300%, and now he's, like, one of the richest guys. I'm going to find that article. And then next semester, I'm going to come back on somebody's show, and I'm going to be like, yo, this is DJ Risque, and remember that statistic I was going to tell you about? Here it is. And, I thought it was funny. That would be funny, I think. I think it would be really, really funny. isn't that interesting how people work? Like, that's what I hate about this world, is greed. And how so many people are just so greedy about, you know, what they think that, you know, they deserve to have, or what they think that people don't deserve to have, or, and how rude that is. You know, it's not really up to somebody to tell somebody else, you know, how they feel. And, I don't know. It's, I guess that's why the world is why it is, you know, is people killing people for, I don't know, only them know what reason. And it's just sad. I mean, I don't know, I hate greed. I wish everybody, you know, was, I don't know, I saw yesterday on a social media site that Akon, he made light, or he, somehow, I should probably look into it, but he got light in Africa for 6 million or 600 million Africans, which they looked like street lamps, you know. But I can only wonder how that would work. That's why I was thinking of how that would work. But I remember seeing the picture, and it was their dirt roads, and they had street lamps. And I guess I never really thought about how amazing that really is until, you know, you see something like that, and how you see how small, like, something like a light, a street lamp, is, you know, is vital and needed. And it's very, I could say interesting 1,000 times, but it is to me. And I don't know. I wish we heard more stories like that, you know. I wonder if we're just blocked from them, or if there's, like, something that we can follow that would be like, hey, this person did this and this and this. But I remember not too long ago, it was a couple of weeks ago, I did a news story on the fact that LeBron, he does a program for, I believe it could start in elementary or high school, and from where he's from, Akron, and you have to go through his high school and his middle school and college, middle school and high school program, and he'll give you a full scholarship to college. And I thought that was very interesting. I wanted to see more of the details on what exactly, you know, those requirements were, but I thought that was very cool. A very popular NBA star would do something to that magnitude for students, allow them something that they have to make themselves accountable for, and something that they actually have to do and accomplish for them to get anything out of it. And I think that's brilliant. And I don't know. I wish I had more of those stories like that, you know, on hand with me right now, because those bring me a lot of joy. And I don't really, you know, I can't wait till the time where I can, you know, give back to those. Like, for instance, in my life right now, there is my junior college coach, her mom and dad. They always support my basketball programs wherever I am. Like, right now, they donated to our e-sponsor program, whatever. But it's so crazy. Like, what my grandparents should do, they do. They go out of their way, you know. They bought me a mini fridge for school, because they knew that I didn't have one. And just little things that, you know, would blow your mind. It's the kindness that you'd never anticipate, you know, from the people you'd never expect. And I would just say, you know, if you're not making someone's life better, you know, you're wasting your time. And I truly believe that, you know, making somebody around you happy brings, you know, you a lot of happiness. And I wish I could, you know, close up, you know, my last show, you know, with lots of happiness and, you know, to bring everybody joy and, very just, you know, give thanks and be grateful for everything that you've got and everything that you've been given. And I'm grateful for everything that I've been given, you know, and every opportunity that I have. So I'm going to play one final song for you. And it was a pleasure. DJ Risqué out.
I don't wanna go there. We should never go there. Damn. Why you wanna go there? I guess I gotta go there. You're hearing rumors about me, and you can't stomach the thought of someone touching my body when you're so close to my heart. I won't deny what they're saying, because most of it is true, but it was all before I fell for you. So please, babe, so please don't judge me, and I won't judge you, 'cause it can get ugly before it gets beautiful. Please don't judge me, and I won't judge you. And if you love me, then let it be beautiful. 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 Everything I say right now, gonna be used in another fight. And I've been through this so many times. Can we change the subject? You're gonna start asking me questions like, was she attractive? Was she an actress? Maybe the fact is, you're hearing rumors about me. And saw some pictures online saying they got you so angry, making you wish you were blind. Before we start talking crazy, saying some things we'll regret, can we just slow it down and rest? We said, so please don't judge me, and I won't judge you, 'cause it can get ugly before it gets beautiful. Please don't judge me, and I won't judge you. And if you love me, then let it be beautiful.
Chris, you need to stop! Chris, wait! I know it's just last minute. People are saying it's a suicide mission. Why are you doing this?
I'm doing a service for my country and my planet. And that means saving the people I love and I care about. And that's what I do.
Yes, you know.
Chris, wait!
From a tobacco-related disease.